Hi, you're listening to a message from Ford Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
But the journey did not start there. The journey started a lot earlier than that, 1 year before. And this is what I want to share to you about the journey that we started on. Last year, early last year, God started to speak to us that we are to sell our car. There were other issues too why we needed to sell our car. Cars and me, we love each other. I don't know if you love cars, but I do. And I've always loved cars and a certain type of car. And we had one of those certain type, lovely, lovely, nice car. Leather seats, and we don't need heating on our seats because we got heating 24/7. But, you know, it was a wonderful four-wheel drive, and it was given to us nearly brand new, and it was still very, very new. And I said to Mariana and our whole team, said, this vehicle will take us all the way through to until we go to be with Jesus. You know, quite a few years, 20 years or so, you know. But whatever the time is. And then last year, God started speaking to us, sell the car. And I'm saying, get behind me. Sell the car and sow it into the kingdom of God. Now, that to me is something that is very, very difficult. We talked. Marianne said, yeah, let's sell it. I said, no, you're on his side. Be on my side. Show some emotion towards something. And so we decided we're going to sell the car and sow it into the kingdom of God. I actually went through a time of sadness. I went through a time of feeling that I lost something because I didn't see any fruit of that. I didn't see anything that had come out of that. And I felt that something had been taken away. I've always loved cars. And now the only possession that we really have on the planet Earth was taken away from me, not from her. She wasn't in love with the car. I hope she was in love with the car owner. But anyway, and so we sold it, and it took months and months to sell. And people said, "Don't sell it. Keep it. You can. It's okay." And Mariana said, "Yeah, we put it in the car yard, and it stood there and stood there, and finally it was sold. And I remember signing the papers, and it's gone now. I can't do anything about it. Anyway." We then sowed it into what I just shared about the work where we reached out to 1,700 people. We sowed it into that. And I remember standing at the concert and standing at every location where we had sisterhood. Standing there and looking at the people coming to the front and God touching them. People being set free. People being saved. People's lives being transformed. The Church of Jesus Christ is growing. And I'm standing, especially at the concert, I was standing, the young people there praising and worshiping God in the front. And I'm saying, what's the car? What's a car worth? Nothing. It's worth absolutely zero compared to what God can do. What God can do with what you put in His hand, what He can do with that, you cannot compare with a car or with finances, what you could have. And that was our journey. But I believe that in this church, every one of you are on a journey right now to release something that will sow into the destiny of this church. Because so God sometimes asks us to release something that we hold dear to sow into the destiny. It's called surrender. It's going, giving up. I had to surrender my right to have that car. I had a right to keep it or to sell it. But I decided I'm going to surrender that car to God. And today He is talking to His church. What will you surrender to the future of my work? There's a power that is in surrender. In our society, we think there's a power of never giving up. I will never surrender. I will never give up. I will never change my mind. We are all about fighting through and all of that. And there's a part in that. But the surrender that God wants us to do is to surrender our will to His will. The moment you surrender your will to His will, you will see that the power of God will start being manifested through your life in a way that you have never seen before. Because surrender is such a powerful thing from God. And there's an incredible thing that God is calling you and me and us as the church to surrender for the destiny of the church. It does not, you cannot walk into the destiny of the church by holding on to what you want from life. Jesus said, take this cup away from me. And He said, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. And that seemingly greatest loss on planet Earth became the greatest victory on planet Earth. The whole mankind was saved by Jesus saying, not my will, but your will. That loss became the greatest victory the world has ever seen. Surrender to destiny. God is calling His church, especially in these days, to surrender. Because we live in an age where it's all about my success. How well do I do the selfie? Which way do I put my eyes? And, you know, comb your hair if you have some. I don't. I don't have to waste time in that. But how do you... Success is all about me, me, me. But God is saying success is all about Him and His life in through us. And there's a story I want to take you to in the Bible. It is found in the Bible. Once I find it. John 6 verses 1 to 14. We won't read it all, but in John 6 verses 1 to 14, there's a story of a little boy that mom made lunch. It might have looked like something like this. Mom made lunch. The fresh food people, I think it's called. The fresh food people. Okay, so mom made lunch for him. And he went on a journey to see Jesus. And he had 5 loaves. You all know the story. He had 5 loaves. And they were barley loaves. You know, barley loaves are just ordinary bread, everyday bread. The cheapest bread around. They weren't anything special. They had those. He had those 5. But sorry, tissue box and water bottle. And then he had 2 fish. Now, I went looking for fish, but I thought it might be too fishy if I buy 2 fish. So I bought 2 cans of sardines. Okay. And imagine this, but this has spoken to me so much. This little boy, he went into a massive crowd. The Bible says there were 5,000 men there, plus the women and children. So we are looking maybe about 10,000 people there. That's not a small crowd. And I'm thinking, how loud could Jesus speak? That's amazing. And even though I tried to shout, and it's not, I wouldn't be able to speak to so many. But there they were. And people had come. They were on a pilgrimage and they came to that place. There was a massive crowd there. And Jesus asked, Philip, where could we buy food for this crowd? You'll find that in verse 5. Where will we buy enough food to feed all these people? Now Jesus knew the plan already. But he asked Philip, and Philip immediately looked at his back pocket. They take nearly 1 year's wage. Thousands of dollars in today's. We don't carry that much money and our credit card is dry. We can't do this. But Jesus wasn't saying, do you have, how much have you got? He was saying, where can we get the food? Where can we find what is needed? Because Jesus already knew what He's going to do. But what Jesus wants to do is when He builds His church, He wants to engage you in building His church. And then He's saying to you tonight, He's saying, how can we build the new campus? How can we build the church? He wants you to be connected to what He wants to do. He doesn't want you to be on the sidelines watching. Wow. No, 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 no. He wants you to be connected in what He wants to do. And that's why he asked the question, Where can we get the money? Where can we get people who will give? Where can we get what is needed for the expansion of the kingdom of God? Because this is not really about buildings. This is not really about land. This is not really about what we will possess. This is about the kingdom of God advancing. And He needs you, and He needs you, and He needs you. He needs every one of us to be part of that. And so Jesus wants to engage us on a journey of stretching our faith for His destiny. For His destiny. And Philip, I said, well, I suppose it would take thousands of dollars to buy us. And then Andrew. Andrew was a very interesting guy. He was a bringer. He brought Peter to Jesus. And now he's bringing this little boy. I was hoping there'd be a little boy here. But there's no little boy here. I'm looking, but they church. Yeah, good on them. But Andrew brought this guy. He said, hey, here's a guy with 5 loaves of bread. Look at it. Yay. Oh, wow. And 2 cans of sardines, okay, and 2 fish, and he brought him to Jesus. But how could this small little thing feed all these people? Were Andrew's words. They weren't the child's words, the lad's words. They were Andrew's word. How could they feed? And Jesus said, have them sit down. Sit them down on the... And more than 5,000 people sat down, probably 10,000. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Guys, this is for lunch. I mean, we are here, well, whatever number. I mean, how far would it go? Come on, all these beautiful people, you know, big abs, and, you know, you could eat 3 of these in one go. And how far would this go? And the sardines, who wants sardines? Maybe nobody wants sardines, so I'll have them. But, you know, it wouldn't even feed us here. It wouldn't. How does that? That looks so silly. And it might be that God is asking you to give something, yet it looks so silly. Maybe it's 50 cents and you think, this is stupid. It looks like it's nothing. It won't even feed. It won't even buy a coffee for the pastor. It looks like it's nothing. But if you bring it to Him, if you bring it to Him, it will change everything. But it needs to be brought to Jesus. It cannot, the miracle cannot happen if you keep it. You must release it for the future. Surrender is releasing what is in your hand and putting it into the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. So He brought 5 barley loaves, 2 fish. Is it fishes or fish? Fishes. And then Jesus had them sat down. Can you imagine when Jesus took the bread and He started multiplying? How many times did one loaf multiply? Because they were actually cakes. They weren't like loaves. He wasn't carrying them on His back, you know. They were just enough for one boy and maybe for their return journey. So imagine one loaf. If there were 10,000 people there, it would have multiplied to 4,000. I'm thinking the men would have eaten 2 of these. It would have multiplied to 4,000. 4,000. Wow, wow, it started coming. Where did it start? Where did it multiply? When they were eating, or did it multiply in the disciples' hand? Imagine this multiplying to 20,000 buns. Or 10,000 buns. I think this room would be pretty full. Or buns and fish, 2 fish. And they used the fish just to put some flavor to the bun. 2 fish for 10,000 people. The fish had to multiply 5,000 times. They didn't have time to go fishing. It had happened there in their eyes. And they all ate and they were satisfied. Imagine this, they were all satisfied from a little boy giving. And then there were 12 baskets, verse 13, left over. And all the people were astounded. My friend, if you bring what you hold on and surrender all the people will be astounded. They won't be astounded at what you gave. They'll be astounded at what God did. I'm only sharing you what we were asked by God to do. The car never was ours. It was always His. It never was ours. We didn't give Him anything. We just said, God, use what is yours already. Use it for your glory. We released it back to Him. And now, I don't care whether we'll ever have a car. Oh, she's already saying amen. Don't agree with everything I say. But it's true. It's true. I would do it over again and over again to see the kingdom of God advance. Because the destiny of a human being is so much more than anything that you can hold on to. See, I believe God is speaking to this church to do what has never been done before. And for you to do what you've never done before. I'm not suggesting you all put the ads in the paper and sell all your cars. No, no, don't do that. Because there'll be so many cars for sale that... And you can't get to church, and the prices will drop so quickly because so many cars coming flooding the market. But what I'm saying is that there is something that I believe in these weeks, days, God is going to speak to you about if you're willing to surrender. I often think that if I was that little boy 2,000 years ago, his name is not mentioned, but his story is mentioned. See, I believe that in that 5,000 or maybe 10,000, somebody else had a few loaves of bread there too. But they said, this is mine. I'm hungry. I bet you they were anything. They were on a journey. And if you go on a journey, you have some picnic lunch with you. But they said, that's mine. And that's why they said there was no food for them, because whoever had something kept it for themselves and would not share. There was only one little boy who said, I'll share it. Wow. And if you give what you have in your hand to Him and He blesses it, it will multiply. You can't do the multiply. Oh, the sardines are going. I think they've come alive. It's so strong here. If you give it into His hands, everyone will be amazed at what God did, because He is going to use what they have. So I got these three, four questions I'm going to ask from you. Who are you in this story? There is about 10,000 people who said were watching. The Bible says they were watching. They came to see Jesus. They were watching. Are you the people watching what's going on? Are you the people watching what's going to happen in Logan? On the sidelines and watching how much somebody else give. Where are you sitting right now? Number two, are we like Philip? And our eyes goes immediately saying, we don't have money. We can't do it. Are we doubting what could happen, number three? These are questions I ask myself. Because I had to ask these questions last year to myself. Am I doubting that God can bring people in? Am I doubting that we put our little bit and people, we minister nearly to 2,000 people? Am I doubting that it could happen? And in myself, I'm doubting, but I say God is bigger. You know, this day as I'm finishing, I'm saying, I want to be like that boy. Do you want to be like that boy? Do you want to be like that boy? So that your act of surrender can be remembered for generations to come. There were 10,000 there. Will you be that one boy? Will you be that one girl? Will you be that one person who says, I will surrender? I don't know what it's going to look like, but Lord, today I'm saying I will surrender to you. Whatever is in my hand. He won't ask you to surrender what is not in your hand. He's not asking you for anything big. The small can become the big in the Master's hand. As we stand up. the impossible will become possible. We could have never dreamed of doing what we did in the latter part of this year. It would have been impossible. The Christmas celebration, all of those. We could have never dreamed of it. But God made it possible because we surrendered. Not only did we surrender, but our team surrendered. Our team gave. They gave. People who earned $6, $7 a day gave. So I just got a testimony. One of them gave half of what they had in their pocket. They gave it to the kingdom of God. We took a miracle offering. And our miracle offering was over 2,000 Australian dollars from a team that earns virtually nothing. They surrendered. And God loves surrender because He can work through your surrender.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.